We are beginning a brand new series this week. So if you decided to come to church this morning, this is like the perfect day to come to church. Congratulations, you are awesome, you are lucky. You came on the right day because we're starting a brand new series on relationships. And it all centers around this one big question that we're gonna ask today and we're gonna answer today. But before I get to the question, I wanna tell you a little bit about myself. I'm Ron Hudson. I'm one of the associate pastors here. Some of you guys know me. A lot of you guys know me. A lot of you maybe don't. But I've been married for 9 years. 9 years. Yes, this, I always get to count this whether I want to or not for now. This is kind of getting really old really quick. But it's cool when I play guitar, it vibrates my whole arm. That's kind of neat. But anyways, I've been married 9 years. And I started out marriage pretty arrogantly. Because I'm the son of a preacher boy, or the son of a preacher man, you know? The only one who could ever reach me. Well, you know what I'm talking about? I'm the son of a preacher. My dad was a pastor. I grew up in church. I grew up hearing all the messages about marriage. I grew up listening to Dr. Dobson on Focus on the Family. Like, I got this marriage thing in the bag, okay? This is going to be fine. My parents are still together. My dad just turned 55. They've been married, I don't know how many years. I probably should know that, but I don't. A lot. They got married at 19, so figure it out. I grew up, like I said, I knew all the passages when I got married. I knew all of the the Bible passages, you know, the Ephesians 5 and the Corinthians and everything. In fact, I'd taught some of this stuff before. And my wife and I, we didn't start out just like making out and like falling in love, like just this emotional, like kind of superficial relationship. We started out as friends, hanging out together, doing ministry together in youth group. So like I was working with teens, she was working with teens. We were both working together in the church. Like this is a foundation for a marriage. Like we were kind of centered on God's plan for our life to work in the church, to serve other people and to tell people about God. And it was really this partnership. Well, I gotta tell you, 9 years later, after World War I and II and III and IV, we still fight about the same issues. A lot of the same arguments just keep coming up. And sometimes we look at each other and we wonder, have we moved much in the last 9 years? Or are we still like in the same spot that we were 9 years ago? You know, the vision and this dream and this thought that I had for marriage doesn't seem like it's quite working out. Don't get me wrong. I'm committed. My wife is committed to sticking it out, you know, no matter how miserable the rest of her life is gonna be. And my wife firmly believes in her heart that I am committed to keeping her miserable for the rest of our marriage. We're definitely committed to each other. That's not the issue. But the issue is, it's, you know, you look at couples who one lives upstairs and one lives downstairs, and it's easy to judge and say, oh, my marriage will never go there. But after 9 years of the same arguments and the same stuff and feeling like we haven't quite moved that much, I get it. I totally get it. I totally get how you can come to that fork in the road and say, you know what? We're together, but you do your life, I do mine. And when we pass, we'll be cordial. I could see, I totally get how people would go there and make that decision. And I don't judge. I do not judge those people. I get it. I understand. It's hard. And the big question that we're going to ask in this series and hopefully answer is this. Is it possible? Because we all have this question, and I wonder this, and I wondered this before I got married, and I believed it before I got married, but the question is this. Is it possible for two people to fall in love and stay in love forever? Is it possible for two people to fall in love and stay in love forever? Now, if you look at culture and everything around us, it says, no, absolutely not. Look at the statistics, Ron. It's like over 50% divorce rate. And it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not. It's just a mess out there. People getting divorced like it's their second job or something, you know? Like people are getting divorced left and right. Culture says no. Our experience says no. Most everybody in here, if I asked you, Have you been divorced? Do you know someone who's been divorced? Has your parents or someone in your family been divorced? Most everyone in here would raise our hand and say, my family's been touched by divorce. If not you, if it's not your second or third marriage, then you know someone else, maybe your parents, your grandparents. It's here. It's an issue. It's here. Culture would say, no, it's not possible. You're constantly seeing people on, you know, the stars, celebrities, they're getting married, 3 weeks later they're divorced, and then getting remarried. It's like, it's a mess. And, you know, what we've seen and what we've experienced would say, no, it's not possible. It's not possible. It's kind of naive. It's kind of, you know, this great idea, but in the reality is, it's not possible that two people could fall in love and stay in love forever. But the thing is, even though we see this around us, we see our friends and people just kind of like falling apart left and right. And if they are together, they're just miserable together a lot of times. Even though we see this, we still believe, you still believe, it's possible. And I know this because you come to me and like, hey, Ron, will you do marriage counseling? Will you marry us? Or will you, you know, I'm thinking about getting married. And couples are still getting together. People are still dating. Married folks are still coming to church. They're sticking it out. And there's something inside of us that says, yeah, it's possible. I think I'm going to be the one that beats the odds. I think I'm going to be the one that makes it the distance, that goes the long way, that makes this marriage thing work. We're going to be the ones that's going to be the exception to the rule, and we're going to make this work. And we get married. We get married, we believe that we're going to beat the odds. And I believe, I don't have a verse for this necessarily, but I just have this hint and this idea in my heart that that is the image of God inside of us that makes us believe in true love. It totally makes us believe that you can fall in love and stay in love forever, because God is love and He is infinite and His image is on us. And so I think we're drawn to that and we lean towards that. And that's the image of God in us. And we want to have walker dates someday, right? Where we got our walkers and we're going on a date together to the restaurant in Kmart, you know, and getting your food. Hey, that place is pretty awesome. I'm already checking it out. I'm only 32, okay? But it's so, you know, it's we want that. We want to be in the nursing home fighting over the remote with our wife, you know? We want that. We want to live and go the distance and not just survive, but thrive. And it points us to this grand idea of forever love. You think you could do it. I still think, no matter what difficulties Lee and I have been through and unresolved and still going through, I still think we're going to have a forever love marriage. I still believe that. I still believe that. I just think it's going to happen. We stick it through, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. But is it really possible to fall in love and stay in love forever? Falling in love is the easy part. Take about 10 seconds to talk about that, because that's about all it takes. If you have a pulse, you can fall in love. Okay? Some of you people are in love with people on TV you never even met. Okay? You watch a movie, okay? The way she does the weather, it's like, oh, you know? It's, you just fall. Someone at the cash register says, have a nice day. And you're like, oh, they're the one, you know? They handed me the receipt. And it's just, you fall. It's so easy. It's never been easier to fall in love. People falling in love left and right. You watch the commercials on TV, God forbid, if you don't have a TiVo, then God bless you, you know? But you're watching commercials on TV, Christian Mingle, Match.com, you know, there's like all of these things. You go and you punch in all your information and tell all about who you are, and then they find someone else out there that's a perfect match for who you are, and it's mathematic, and they put the algorithm together, and it's like, boom, and then all these happy couples on there. I met on Match.com, and I found the love of my life, and you can too. It's awesome. You know, and it's like, wow, it's never been easier to fall in love. But the truth is, it's never been harder to stay in love. Falling in love is so easy, but it's never been harder to stay in love. And the thing is, we're not just talking about staying together, okay? Lots of people stay together, but they're not in love, okay? You had parents, you've experienced that, probably, you know? They're together, and I'm not just talking about staying together and surviving the years. I'm talking about being in love with one another. Being in love. You know, I'm not talking about the whole duct tape down the middle of the house. Like, this is my side, this is your side, Brady Bunch style. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about staying in love. We want to find the one and not just survive through the years, but really
be in love.
So why is it so difficult? If everybody wants this, and most of you would agree that that's kind of what you want at some level, or if you don't have it in a relationship now, maybe you want that at some point, or you want other people around you to have that. But why is it so difficult then? Well, there's a couple reasons. One is our experience. Most of us have not seen one of these. Our parents didn't have a relationship like this. And so we're coming into this having seen what mom and dad had. And we're like, oh, that's not what I want. But I didn't see it in them. I didn't see it in grandma and grandpa necessarily. Maybe you've never even seen it in any relationship. But you believe it's possible. This whole idea of falling in love, staying in love forever, it's out there somewhere, but you just haven't found somebody that's doing it. And so our experience says we haven't seen it or experienced it yet. We haven't felt it. So we probably wouldn't know it if we saw it. Because our experience, we just haven't seen it. We're aspiring to something that we don't even know what it looks like. So instead, we've seen these gems of wisdom that we learned from mom and dad. All right? How about this one? Do unto others as they deserve to be done to. That's a good one, right? Or how about this one? Do unto others as they've done to you. Right? That's closer. That's close enough. Right? What about this? Do unto others as your mood would have it. I'm not in the mood, okay? Do unto others as your mood would have it. What about this? Do unto others to get them to see things your way. We just talked about that through our whole entitlement series, you know? Do unto others until you're ready to leave. These are the gems that we've seen in action, that we've experienced in our own relationships and in relationships around us. People may stay together, but we assume they're not really in love by the way they look at each other or don't look at each other. At least it's not the kind of marriage that I really want. Another problem, not just experience, is feelings. All of these things that we felt. A lot of smart people got together. They made this big list of all these things that you're supposed to have in order to be a healthy, emotional person, ready to leave adolescence and go into a healthy, loving relationship. And here's the list. Hold on to your gizzard. Okay? It is respect, encouragement, comfort, security, support, acceptance, approval, appreciation, attention, and affection. What are the odds that you're going to find somebody out there who has received in large doses their entire life from their parents and their family around them, respect, encouragement, comfort, security, support, acceptance, approval, appreciation, attention, and affection? What are the odds that you're going to find that in somebody? I didn't get it. And I doubt my wife got it. Not in the large doses all the time, you know? So what happens is we come into marriage with expectations that you're going to give me respect, encouragement, comfort, security, support, acceptance, approval, appreciation, attention, and affection. That's part of why I'm getting married, because you're going to give this to me and I'm going to receive this from you and it's going to be wonderful. And if you don't give it to me, then I'm going to squeeze the respect, attention, affection, and all this out of you until I get it. And you're going to try to squeeze it out of me. And after a while, you start looking and you say, are you going to give me respect, attention, affection, all of these things? Or are you just cute? Are you just got a nice job? Because I don't feel this. And so what happens, we come into our relationships with a deficit. We come in with a half-empty bucket. And so we have all these felt needs. And we haven't experienced this forever love relationship and anybody around us. And so what are the odds that we know what we're doing? Is it any wonder that things are falling apart? No, not really. It's not. We both come into it with a deficit. And in the midst of this chaos and all this that we're dealing with, Jesus speaks. And I want to share with you a verse this morning from John chapter 13. John chapter 13. And this is a powerful, powerful verse that Jesus shares with us. Jesus is together with his guys, and he's about to tell them something radically important. This is so simple and so powerful and so rare, but so accessible at the same time that if we're not careful, we could just miss it. We could read right past it. We could skip over it and be like, oh, yeah, yeah, I get that. And just kind of gloss over it and miss the whole point of what Jesus is saying. So we want to break it down for you this morning, piece by piece. John chapter 13, verse 34. He says, the first part, a new commandment I give to you. Let's just stop right there. A new commandment. Now we got the Ten Commandments. And we got like 700 some odd commandments in the Old Testament to support the Ten Commandments. And so you got all this coming in, and he's speaking to these Jewish men, his disciples, and he's saying, I'm going to give you a new commandment. Now, what does new mean? Does this mean like never heard before? Does it mean like novel? Does it mean like remarkable? This is new. This is exciting. I don't know. Let's read into it. But it's new. Okay, so get that. What part is the new part? He says, a new commandment I give unto you, or I give to you, that you love one another. That you love one another. New commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Okay? Don't miss this. This is what Jesus said. Love one another. I'm like, wow, Ron, is that it? You should have studied harder. But think about it. A couple goes to Jesus for marriage counseling. They're like, hey, Jesus, you know, you don't understand. Like, she is doing this, and she's like, hey, this guy, you know, he is a mess. Like, you got to straighten this out. And Jesus is like, whoa, 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 whoa. What you guys need to do, you need to go home and love each other. Oh, is that it, Jesus? Well, you should have. I don't love him. No, 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 no. You need to go home and love her. But I don't love her. In fact, maybe the H word. It would be more hate, you know, or mad or anger. There's no love there. If there was love there, I wouldn't be at marriage counseling. Duh. Right? Jesus, no, no, no. You got to go home and love one another. But it's gone. There's no more love left. Okay? Hanging by a thread here, Jesus. And in a couple, he just says, go home and love each other. See, we know that love is something that you fall into, that you just like trip and it's like, whoa, like an accident. You break your wrist. You're in love. You know, it's just like, wow, I didn't see that coming. It was just out of left field. I met this person and then now we're in love. We know that love is something that you fall into. It's this mysterious, uncontrollable, overwhelming feeling. But Jesus is saying this. Jesus is saying, you have to do it to feel it. I'm like, what? You have to do it to feel it. This is what he's saying. He's saying, quit treating love as a noun. Something that you have or don't have, that you fall into, that you're covered with or not, and treat it as a verb. Something that you actively do, that you have a part in, that you do, that you make happen. Here's the bottom line of today's message, and I want you to lean in and listen close because this is really good. Here's the bottom line. The foundation for staying in love is to make love. Pause. A verb. Okay? The foundation for staying in love is to make love a verb. And I'll tell you guys this. Don't tell anybody I said this. But if you'll make love a verb, you'll also make more love. Okay? Just saying. It's okay. You can laugh. Calm down. There we go. You guys are like, oh, no, you mentioned that in church. Unclean. It's okay. God made it. It's all good. The foundation for staying in love is to make love a verb. Not a noun, not something you have or don't have or that you fall into or out of, but something that you do. The feeling is the caboose to the train, okay? It starts out as the engine, all right? If you talk to folks who've been married a long time, they stuck it out. They'll tell you, you know, we see it all the time. You see people, two people fall in love, and you're like, oh, wow, you know, that's going to flame out real quick. It starts out as the engine, and the feelings are like driving things, and it's like so strong, and it feels like it'll never go away. But after you get married, after a few years, after a while, the feeling moves to the end of the train, and it's the caboose. And you have to be the engine. You have to make love a verb, something that you do actively, to pull that, and the feelings will then follow. The feelings will follow. When you actively love one another, it energizes, it rekindles, it ignites and refreshes the love part of the relationship. So, that's not it though. There's more to the verse. There's more to the verse, okay? A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Okay, we got that. We got the love one another part. Maybe this is the new part. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. as I have loved you. And another way of saying it is, you also are to love one another. Just like I have loved you, you should love other people that way. Okay? Jesus is saying, for this to work, not only do you got to make love a verb, but you got to do it my way. Now, this is offensive, okay? Because nobody wants to hear how to do things. Nobody wants to hear you're doing it wrong, you know? The reason your marriage sucks is because you're doing it wrong, you know? Thanks, Jesus. Appreciate that. Really glad I came to church this morning, you know? Just throwing that out there, you know? Nobody wants to hear that. This is pretty offensive. And if you're not a Christian, you can kind of relax a little bit because you're off the hook, right? Because you don't have to do what Jesus says. You haven't signed up and bought into his whole thing yet and following Jesus. So you're kind of off the hook. You can sit back and watch all the Christians squirm, because we're going to get really uncomfortable here in a bit, because we're going to be confronted with what Jesus said. And since we're Christians, we have to do it. And so hang on, because it's going to get really bumpy here. Not just love one another, but do it the way that I love you. What Jesus is saying is this: don't take your cues on how to love from culture around you. Even though culture might have some redeeming things. There's nothing wrong with watching a romantic movie or reading a book, but don't take your cues on how love and marriage and relationships work from the culture around you. Don't take your cues from magazines, you know, 17 ways to be irresistible, you know, it's like, oh, okay. You know, don't take your cues from that stuff. Don't take your cues from romantic novels that you read, you know? Don't take your cues from Facebook and Twitter and all these things that you see out there. Don't take your cues from your parents. They might have had some redeeming qualities in their relationship, but don't even take your cues from your parents or your grandparents or your uncles or your family around you. Don't even take your cues from them. Take your cues for staying in love from Jesus. Because the foundation for staying in love is to make love a verb, and the only way that it works is to do it Jesus' way. So, I know you're asking, I know you're dying to know, what is Jesus' way? I'm so glad you asked, because it just so happens I prepared that this morning. It's going to be awesome. All right, so years after Jesus spoke these words in John chapter 13, verse 34 to his disciples, where he said, this is a new commandment, love one another, don't just love anyway, love my way, as I have loved you, so also you should love others. Paul says the same exact thing. This guy named Paul, he's writing to a church in Ephesus. Ephesus is a city, so you have the book called Ephesians, which is written to the people at Ephesus. Pretty simple, right? And so it's in chapter 5 of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. And we're going to flip over there, and I'm going to read this verse. But I got to warn you, Paul uses a really dirty word. He uses a bad word that nobody likes, and this is super offensive. So if you're not a Christian this morning, just relax, start looking around, and watch all the Christians squirm. Because actually, this is a word that gets Christians in trouble all the time. We are in so much hot water over this word, even though most of us just kind of ignore it because it's so offensive and it's difficult. And it's like, well, I'm just going to skip over that verse because that one's hard. And so I'm going to just... But stick with me, because if we're going to do it Jesus' way, we're going to do it Jesus' way. So Paul says the same thing, same idea here, just different words. And this is what he says, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Go ahead, you can put it on the screen. That's awesome. It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submitting yourselves one, oh, and that's the bad word, that big one at the top. Submitting. No. No submission here, whoa. No, I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. I'm liberated. Okay? Nobody tells me what to do. I got freedom. I got rights. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Another way of saying in the fear of God is out of reverence for Christ. Out of reverence for Christ. Submitting yourselves. What does this mean? It means you first. Okay? You come to a doorway, and it's like, you first, no, 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 you first, and you never get anywhere. Because you're like, no, go ahead. No, I want to put you first. I put your needs above my needs. No. I'm going to put your needs above my needs. It means I'm choosing to place myself under you as you choose to place yourself under me. And you're like, that doesn't even make sense, Ron. And I know, and I totally agree. It's a mess. Okay? I don't like this at all. Because really, I want to put myself above my wife and put my needs above her needs, okay? Because that ensures that I'll be taken care of, right? Because if I put my needs below hers, she might walk all over me, right? And if she puts her needs below me, we know I'll walk all over her, okay? How could this possibly work? This is crazy talk. It doesn't even make sense, I know, and it's offensive, and I don't like it, but if you've ever seen one of these, if you've ever seen one of these in action, where two people care more about the needs of the other person than themselves, if you have the opportunity to actually be in one of these, you would get it. You would know. And here's what I'm saying. Jesus said, you gotta love like me, and as Christians, we take our submission cue from a Savior who gave his life for us. Think about it like that. Jesus is saying, love like I did, submitting yourself just like I submitted myself for you. And if you're a Christian this morning, a light bulb just went off in your head. It's probably not comfortable. He's like, oh, yeah. The light comes on. You're like, wow, that's hard. I don't know if I'm ready for that. I get it, though. That depth of love, I get that. Because I didn't deserve for Jesus to die for me. I certainly didn't deserve for him to come from heaven to earth and do anything for me because I was rotten, and I still am a lot of the time. And Jesus is so much better than me, and I do not deserve for him to sacrifice and submit, to put himself under me. No, but he did. Out of love. He did. And if you're a Christian, you get this. So you don't, maybe don't like it. It's kind of freaking you out in your heart. But when I mention Jesus, you know that love in your heart. If you're not a Christian this morning, don't freak out, because Jesus did the same thing for you. He didn't just die for Christians, for people who come to church on a Sunday morning, you know, and hang out and have a Jesus fish in their car. He died for people who are far away from him, who do not know him at all, who are in the midst of their mess and who need a Savior, who need someone to love them and pull them out of it. He died for you. And this morning, as I close in a few minutes, I'm going to give you an opportunity to ask Jesus in your heart so that you can have Jesus as your Savior. And you can know this love that I'm talking about, because over the next 3 weeks, we're going to build on this. Jesus didn't just submit himself for Christians. He died for you. So let's get back to our question, and then we'll close. Our question was, is it possible for two people to fall in love and stay in love forever? Absolutely. Absolutely. If you'll do it Jesus' way. If you make love a verb, and you love like Jesus did by submitting yourselves, mutual submission, then you could stay in love. And not only stay in love, but actually grow the love. And it could get better and better. Not because you picked the right person, because Lord knows we didn't pick the right person. Okay? Not because you picked the right person, but because you did the right things. Get that? It's not about who you picked. You picked them. You're stuck with them. Deal with it. Just go with it. But because you did the right things. Because you did it Jesus' way. So next week, we're going to get real specific as to what mutual submission is. And we don't want to go into this blind. So we want you to read a verse this week. We want you to read Philippians chapter 2, verse number 3. At least read verse 3. If you want to read through the rest of it, that's great too. But every day, I want you to pull this verse out and read Philippians chapter 2, verse number 3. Because we don't want to go into this cold. And it's so powerful, it's so impacting, and we want this to be on your heart and in your heart when you get here. But this week, as I close in prayer, I want you to think about it. You're going to be tested with this, I guarantee it. You probably won't even make it to the car. Me and Chris were talking about this. You probably won't even make it to the car before you're going to have an opportunity to be submissive to your husband or your wife and put their needs above your needs, and you're going to be like, oh, I hate you, Ron. You know? You're going to be wrestling with this all week long. It's going to be in your heart, and I don't want you to be thinking about what they're doing. I want you to be thinking about what you're doing. And if you're not in a relationship, this series is going to show you the kind of person to look for, the kind of person to be for your next relationship. So you want to stick through this, and you want to learn to be the right kind of person so that when you do find the person that you're waiting for, you are the person that you're waiting for. It's waiting for this person. Anyways, let's pray. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed, just to give yourself and others around you some privacy. I want to pray for those of you who say, I'm not really a Christian, Ron. I want this love that Jesus offers, but I need some help. If you would pray with me this morning, then you could ask Jesus in your heart. It's a simple prayer. Just pray after me. Dear Jesus, I know I have messed up. I have chose the wrong things. I've done the wrong things. I have sinned. Please forgive me. Dear Jesus, please come into my heart and fill me with the love that you gave on the cross for me. I believe in you and I receive you this morning. Now, if you prayed that with me, and you're not bashful, would you just slip your hand up in the air? No one's looking around. Just slip your hand up in the air and say, yeah, I prayed that with you, Ron. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you. That's awesome. Thank you. Now, if you're a Christian this morning, you're in kind of a big pickle, because we just showed that in order to stay in love, we got to love as a verb, as an active thing, not because we feel it, but because we do it. And Jesus is saying that looks like submission. And this is going to be hard. So I want to pray for us this week as we wrestle with this. Dear God, we come to you as your children. Some of us just newly born this morning. And God, we ask that you would give us strength and power to look in ourselves, not in our spouse, it's so easy to point out their flaws, but to look in ourselves and ferret out and find any area of selfishness and let you deal with it. And be courageous enough to deal with it as you point to the areas and be the person you want us to be. To face it, to own it, to say it, to name it out loud, so that we can start to love as a verb like you commanded us to in your new commandment. Lord, as we try to submit and put others first, God, help us. Help us to trust you in this. This is so scary. We're kind of freaked out that we're going to get just trampled on and this isn't going to work out for us. But we trust you, God. We pray that we would do it this week. In Jesus' name, amen.